Here at Trinity United Church. Thank you for worshiping with us today. We do have a few community announcements to lift up in the sense of celebrations. Now, I do know that we want to thank Elaine Burroughs. If you'll notice, the colors that are around the sanctuary have turned to a time of creation colors. As we move into the fall and the time of harvest, we change all the different quilts around our sanctuary. So we want to thank Elaine. It's her handiwork that does that. So we want to give her a round of applause. And last Sunday, we had an anniversary of 23 years, and I know they're watching online today, and that is Sandy and Malcolm McLean, 23 years. So let's wave and let's say happy anniversary. There we go. Wonderful. Also knowing that there are some birthdays in our congregation today. Now, this past Friday, it seemed like there was a lot of birthdays to celebrate within our congregation. Olivia Richardson had a birthday. We know also in the choir that Tim Griffin had a birthday. Yes, absolutely. And Carolyn had a birthday. Choir was busy. Birthdays. Let's give them a round of applause. Birthdays. And then coming up this week, we have some other birthdays. On Tuesday, September the 16th, my mom, Bessie, turns 90. 90, she's here. And I know later in the week, and probably watching for online today, is Alden Ryder on September 19th had his birthday. And on September the 20th, and actually Addison and I had a lovely visit with Verna Phillips earlier in the summer, turns 105. Wow, 105. Are there any other birthdays or anniversaries or celebrations? We also know that in our community that we do journey with people that are going through struggles and times when they just need that extra presence. This world sometimes is so confusing and so heavy, and we also make time within our space together to claim a time where we are to offer light to one another, to be present to one another, to listen to one another. And as a community of faith, we do so in so many different ways. One of the ways that we can do that is to just pause and be. It is with deep gratitude and respect Trinity United Church Summerside gathers and worships on unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Ebegwit, Prince Edward Island, is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. And last week, I shared that for the month of September, we will be sharing together in a ritual of passing the peace. This world needs peace. Whether we know it or not, Christians, we are people who are steeped in ritual. We light the Christ candle. We bow our heads in prayer, coming forward with the offering, rising for the benediction and the passing of the peace. From the beginning of Christ's church, the peace of Christ has been exchanged between believers as a way to identify with Jesus. As Jesus extended himself to us, we extend ourselves to one another with a gesture from heart to heart, with the hands on the heart. That is one of the ways that we can show support and love to one another. The meaning it carries for us is rooted in the life of Jesus' death, life, death, and resurrection for us all, and therefore symbolizes that shared unity in Christ. Friends, may all our living be shaped in the form of Christ's peace. Let us pass the peace of Christ to one another as a gesture with the hands on the heart. And as we do that, we say, the peace of Christ be with you, and we respond, and also with you. The peace of Christ be with you, and also with you. Now, let's share that with our friends, our neighbor. Let's turn around and offer that peace of Christ. Peace of Christ be with you. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. At the beginning of our time together, as we enter into a time of worship, we light the Christ candle as a sign and symbol of Christ's presence with us. And I invite Phoebe to light our Christ candle this morning. It's a commissioning for us to take that light out into the world, in our thoughts and in our deeds. And Phoebe, I'll ask you to light the Christ candle for me. Thank you. Blow that out like a candle. Wonderful. Thank you. Let us join our voices in the call to worship. You are welcome. You are beloved. You are called and chosen along with all who dwell on this earth as together we tend this beautiful creation and build beautiful communities for all of all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are singing, "This is the day. This is the day that God has made." We're going to have the choir sing the first section because it's a call and response. They'll sing a line and you'll sing it back and you'll see it on the screen. I believe the underlined parts are your parts for you to sing. And at some point we all come in and rejoice together and be glad in it. This is quite familiar to most of us here at Trinity. But if you're new, just jump in along the way and you'll enjoy singing "This Is the Day" and get us into our service. Choir starts. Everyone! Choir? Everyone! Open to us, choir! Everyone, open.
Open to us your gates, O God. We will go into your holy place.
Choir.
Open to us.
Everyone.
Gates, O God.
Let's switch it up. Congregation, you're going to lead us, for you are our God. Here you go.
Amen. Please be seated. And friends, let's once again join our voices together in the gathering prayer. May we find peace and comfort in our gathering today, be it in person or in spirit. May we draw on the beauty and wonder of creation as we rest in the divine presence, as on a rock beneath our feet. I want to invite those ages 3 to 15 and the junior church members to come forward up on the steps or in the front pew here as we have a time together. Welcome. Come over to this side. I'm going to move you over this side. I mean, I'll put you to work. I'll rock with you. Welcome, 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 welcome. Last week we started our September journey looking at the very first Christian community in the book of Acts. And we're going to continue with that story. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about the work of Peter and the work of John. And then we're also going to take all of us back in time into the book of Acts. And you're going to be doing that as well within junior church, within your programming. One of the things that I love about the book of Acts is that here we have the apostles going out and teaching for the very first time after the ascension of Jesus. It's all brand new, brand new. Has anybody ever tried something brand new, tried to learn something? Anybody, an instrument or anything like that? Does anybody, raise your hand if you tried something new. It takes work, doesn't it? It takes practice, right? Even when we're, it does, it takes work. You know, what do you do? What was a new thing that you learned how to do? Swimming in the pool. What else? Yeah, playing piano, an instrument, and all those different things. Guess what I did this week? On Monday, I had my first ever step dancing lesson. Oh, right? College of Piping, big leagues. So here I was. Yes? Wonderful. That is so cool. And my teacher is Samantha McKay. She's very patient. She's very, very patient. And so she's teaching me a new step, and I'm going to teach it to you. Now, I don't have step dancing shoes on, because I think if we all learn something new, that it can kind of, just like with these apostles going out to the community and talking to new people, and when I look in the church and I see new people, I go, oh, I want to get to know them, but you're also nervous and everything, right? So I'm going to take my shoes off, because it's kind of hard with shoes to do this. No, I won't make you guys take off shoes. I'm just taking off my shoes. So I want you to stand up. And we're going to learn the very first step I learned. Everybody stand up. Ready? Okay? Get off the step if you're on the step, because I don't want... Yes, there we go. On the floor. So the first step is step. Wow. Good. All right. Ready? One more step. Step. Now the other one. Shuffle. Step. Oh, ready? Other foot. Step. Shuffle. Step. Perfect. And then we got to get faster and faster and faster. We won't do that. So have a seat. That's the very first step, step, shuffle, step in step dancing. Now, today, Caitlin is going to share with us a story of when we are being led into this very first community in the book of Acts, and we see some pretty neat things that the apostles are doing. So, Caitlin, you want to share with us that scripture today? Thank you.
Peter heals. At 3 o'clock one afternoon, Peter and John were walking to the temple together to pray. Ahead of them, they saw some people carrying a man who could not walk. They carried him to the beautiful gate of the temple, laid him down, and left him alone. Because he couldn't walk, the man couldn't work, so he begged for money to buy food. When Peter and John walked up to the gate, the man asked, "Would you please give me some money for some food?" Peter said to the man, "Look at us. We don't have any money for you, but I have something much better. In Jesus' name, I say, get up and walk." Peter reached out for the man's hand, and suddenly the man's feet and ankles and legs grew strong. With a happy cry, the man jumped up and started walking. He danced and skipped and hopped as he made his way to the temple with Peter and John. The man laughed and shouted and praised God. Peter and John had to move out of the way as people from all over the temple were amazed and came rushing towards the man. Everyone was talking all at once. One man asked, "What happened to this man?" Another wondered, "Isn't this the beggar who can't walk and sits by the temple gate asking for money?" Someone else questioned, "How has he been healed?" Finally, Peter stepped in and said in a loud voice to the surprised crowd, "This man believes Jesus, and his faith has made him strong. Right in front of you, he has been given a healthy body because he believes."
Thank you, Caitlin, for sharing with us this story that we are going to explore today as well as our other scriptures in the book of Acts. We are going to sing together. Now, when we sing together, we're going to do the very first verse, and then you can get up and off to the auditorium in the upper room for our time together. So, Louise, take it away.
And we might want you to stay just a tad longer because this piece goes by so fast and we need your help with some actions, just like you're dancing, to celebrate that wonderful healing in front of the temple. They were dancing and shouting with joy, and we're going to do that with this song, Hallelujah, 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 Praise Ye the Lord.
Okay.
So when you sing Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujahs, Hallelujahs, would you please raise your hands if that's what's in your body? If not, just raise a finger or a thumb. So hallelujah, or raise your hand, or shake them. Praise ye the Lord, you put them down. All right, here we go. Choir's quite good at it. And hallelujah. Great, that was excellent. Now we're going to do it once more, and if you feel like you can stand up for the hallelujahs, do that. Kids, I expect you to do it for sure. Most of you can do that, and let's celebrate and sing it with hallelujah and praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. And we'll sing you out. Hallelujah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Continuing the Spark Bible story, we're moving into Acts chapter 4, verses 13 to 31. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What will we do with them? For it's obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. We cannot deny that. To keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them, and they ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than speaking to God, you must judge, for we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them again, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all of them praised God for what had happened. The man on whom this sign of healing had been performed was more than 40 years old. After they were released, they went to their own people and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness.
Please be seated. And please join me in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, dear God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, I presented an invite for all of us to go back in time to the first Christian communities in the book of Acts, an opportunity to time travel through the eyes of a character that myself and the Reverend Catherine Ann Dixon created during our writing sessions together in the spring. We wanted a creative way of hopefully retelling these stories within our scriptures with a more focused approach on what it might have been like for those early followers of the church, those followers who may not have even met Jesus, never heard his teachings firsthand. The book of Acts takes place well after the resurrection, with the early disciples of Jesus now out proclaiming the good news and offering acts of faith, hence the name, the book of Acts. It is a time of expansion of the early church after the ascension of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is at work, and spreading of the gospel is taking root. Deep roots. The seeds are spreading. New harvest is blossoming in places far away. The main characters in the book of Acts are those first apostles, those first followers of Jesus, with a significant focus today on Peter and John. Their stories, their experiences, what they are going through. Through these accounts, within Scripture, we hear of the challenges for and within the early church. And through all of that, there is this continuing, bold advancement of the kingdom of God. The teachings of Jesus are living themselves out, or at least these communities, they're trying. What might have been like for those for the everyday person experiencing all of this for the first time. That is what we're trying to investigate this September. So within this creative retelling, I become the character of the journalist, ready and willing to explore these new communities, this movement of faith. Just send me out there, boss. And you all become the editor. You are my boss. I report back to you what I find. Is there a story here? Last week, I offered you all a plea to just send me, because as a journalist, I absolutely felt that there was a story just waiting for us to be part of the telling and the sharing and the experience. After the service last week, I got some awesome feedback about that sort of creative approach to sermonizing, an approach that we will explore further today. Some said it was interesting, an interesting approach. Others said they felt really drawn into the story of becoming part of the story, while others who were watching online wanted to yell to the journalists, "Yes, you're hired!" Passion was ignited. So, let us move the curtain back this week as the journalist returns from her first assignment. She begged to go into these communities and to witness for herself what was happening, to follow up on her lead, that lead who shared her account firsthand, to report back to you, the boss, what was discovered. Let us boldly witness what happened. Boss, I am back, and this story has more twists and turns than I ever thought possible. And I'm a reporter. I'm used to twists and turns. The intel was correct. And while among the church, I found its layers deep and ever flowing with compassion and respect. Yes, everything that I was told was actively taking place. This is a church of movement. It is a community full of prayer, a community that seeks the word and lives the word and the wisdom of the teachings of Jesus in bold ways. Now, don't get me wrong. They're not perfect, but they're honest, responsive, accountable, and willing to work together to further God's vision for the world. They desire to live into the two great commandments of their faith, which are to love God and to love their neighbors as themselves. These are a people who commit to gathering together. They worship together. They follow the Holy Spirit and speak of the Word of God with a boldness that I have personally never saw as a reporter before. The needs of the people are many, but the gifts of the Spirit among the people, is plentiful. The boldness I saw was very present in the community leaders of Peter and John. Their boldness is not just with them, though. It is being realized within the church, and that's what's getting noticed. Even though these two are, by conventional standards, uneducated and ordinary men, they are filled with the Spirit, the wisdom, the teachings of their teacher, of Jesus, and people are listening. To be honest, at first I met with Peter and John as a reporter, and I did not understand or see any reason for the great pushback that they had been experiencing. They were doing really great, amazing things. And even more seems to be coming their way, more pushback, even after them doing these wonderful things. You know how we had a feeling that those in power wouldn't want the potential to maybe lose some control, lose some power? We had a feeling before you even sent me out on the ground that that might be the case. Well, upon further investigation, I found out that it wouldn't be long. It would not take long for Peter and John to be hauled in for questioning by those same powers that be. Maybe they thought too many were listening. Maybe too many were following in these new ways, and that didn't set well with the established powers. Who knows? But in heaven heard firsthand the followers tell the story of Jesus and how those in power saw even Jesus as a threat, in some ways, it does make sense. Jesus himself had talked about this cup of suffering that he had to bear. And he asked if his disciples comprehended what being his followers truly meant, what leading his church truly meant. Boss, I can't help but wonder if Peter and John are realizing they are taking Jesus' cup on. And if so, do they realize that they need to respond to power, to empire, in a Jesus way, a servanthood way, with heart and head? And as Jesus told the sons of Zebedee, again, members of this church, those who wish to be the greatest need to position themselves as the least. Having spent time with Peter and John, I know that they realize how it ended for Jesus. But anyone with ears to hear and eyes to see can tell that their lives give witness about living in and through the resurrection. They are living that reality now. What is that going to mean for them and these early believers with this topsy-turvy understanding that they have of power? is so different, way different than the understanding of earthly power. You have to let me go back. You have to let me go back. I need to spend more time with these people. I need to know why they stand so firm and stay so firm in their faith, even in the face of pushback. Where does this daring, bold behavior come from? The compassion that they show, the need to be present, their faith, their conviction to live as the kingdom has come, the kingdom that Jesus ushered in. I know there are those who will simply say, oh, they get this from God, but I'm a journalist. I want to go deeper. I need to know. How do we get to know the same bold conviction and carry the weight of the cup we long to drink from? With that same bold grace. There's more story here, boss. We need to report this to the world. I am going back. There is something wonderful happening here that teaches, that guides, that inspires all that we say and do, so that all may learn and grow. We must find out. Let me answer the call. Let me go back. All glory is God's. Amen.
Good morning. 40 days of engagement on anti-racism, the United Church's popular education and action program returns in October 2025. The 40 days offers practical learning, prayers, and concrete ideas for actions in congregations. All of these are designed by people of the United Church, sharing from their personal experience and from education and analysis. The brand new content this year will focus particularly on congregational engagement and toward 2035. New for 2025 is a downloadable folder of materials for leaders to run an anti-racism program in your community of faith, 14 short videos, prayers, action items, and more to use over 7 weeks. You can sign up to download this folder the week of September 8th. We'll send a reminder, so please check it out. A series of online events will take place on Church X, where you'll also be able to join a network of people discussing the 40 days and anti-racism. While the program usually starts just after Thanksgiving and ends just before Advent, you can explore this program at any time of the year.
This morning we're going to play Where's Waldo, only it's Where's Nancy. rather than the interruption of traveling all over the place, and who knows, I might travel all over the place and you'll have to find me. We'll see what comes up. We have a reminder that there's a concert here this afternoon with North Meets South, and special guests are Trinity Choir. There's more information in the bulletin if you wish to check it out. If you have announcements for the October takeaway, the deadline to have information to Joyce in the office is 3:30 tomorrow. For additional information on the life and work of Trinity Summerside and its work into the community, the bulletin or September takeaway are available at the entrances and on the website trinitysummerside.ca. We are truly blessed by the people in this community of faith who are willing to share their time, talent, and treasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bev, and thank you, Nancy, for reminding us how we can get involved not only within our own church, within our communities, but within our province and around the world, and the difference it makes when we do offer our time, talent, and treasures. And as part of a service, one of the symbols of representing that blessing is the offering plate. And as Gary brings up the offering plate, I ask those who are able to please rise as we offer a blessing over the offering of time and talent and treasures within our faith community. Friends, please join me in prayer. And let us pray. Gracious God, we bring our gifts, bless them and us. We pray that the gifts received here today aid in the betterment of this world, that love is revealed, nourishment offered, and healing initiated. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Please join me in prayer and let us pray. Gracious God, remind us that we live in the cradle of your heart. We are offered the shade of our Creator's wings. We call out to the Holy One, trusting you, gracious God. The goodness of God surrounds and lifts us up. Shielded with the Creator's faithfulness, we have nothing to fear. Not darkness, destruction, or hunger. We feel the safety that comes when in the loving presence of our Creator. The goodness of God surrounds and lifts us up. God of grace, your eyes will only see justice. We have remembered you, loving God. You remember us always. You are the constant, always there. Continue to be with us even in the sting of injustice. Aid us in having faith and respond to the wrongdoings. Help us to be loving and compassionate, to listen. The goodness of God surrounds and lifts all of us up. We know that you are Creator. We love and call on your holy name with our deepest and most sincere prayers. We bring all that is on our hearts to you today, Holy God. We lay our burdens down. We pray silently what is on our hearts in this moment. In the silence, you are there. We find comfort knowing that you know us, love us, and will deliver us. Help us to bring all praise and saving grace and honor to you all the days of our lives. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Once again, I want to thank you all for coming and worshiping with us this morning, be it here in person, online, podcast, and sermon by phone. And thank you for those messages throughout the week of just how you're engaging within this community of faith and how you're making a difference out in the world. I love hearing that. The world needs more of that. And as we leave this place today, I commission you all to be alert, to stand firm in the faith, to be valiant and strong, but let all that you do be done out of love. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen and hallelujah.